Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. Wednesday, the first day of December 2021. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com every Wednesday, 5:30, 2 hours, sometimes an hour and a half, talking politics and sports. And, of course, other nights, Global Patriot Radio has other shows. Mondays, the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al. 6 o'clock, Mamma Mia No Sharia. So you kind of know their subject matter. Tuesdays, The Cross and the Crescent with Eric, also at 6. These are all Eastern times, by the way. Wednesdays, of course, me, Hank Jones, 5:30. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report at 6 o'clock. Fridays at noon, Conservative Casual Friday with Andrew Herod. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to midnight, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam. The bonus of that, of course, during football season, you don't have to watch Pac-12 football. You have that to listen to. And Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. That's every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. You got to have a downloaded app for that one. Hey, you can reach the show multitude of ways. You can always email me anytime, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You can go to Facebook and just type in Hank Jones Polysports, and then on Twitter, at hpolysports, or just look up Hank Jones Polysports. It'll probably take you that way as well. Always come in through the chat room, as Indy Hawk and Jack Forsyth have done. Welcome, Jack. Or you can just listen online without coming in the chat room, I suppose. The other way, kind of a cool way, you can dial in and listen on your phone, 319-527-6706. With the bonus, of course, if you want to talk, you hit the one on your phone. I get the cue. You are in and wanting to talk. And I'll pick up, usually. My wife and little Aussie are here in the house at Electric Hankland Studios. Little Aussie had a little dental procedure yesterday. Pretty cool. They put her under, had her teeth done. And the thing is, with Australian Shepherds and Border Collies and other herding type dogs, they have a gene mutation, or can have a gene mutation, known as MDR1. So it means that they can have problems with things like anesthetic. Luckily, she did not. We knew she probably wouldn't, because she'd been put out when she was spayed years ago. But, you know, it's a concern. It's your baby, you know. It's our baby, since our real baby is out of the house now. So, yeah, that's done. And she's already hyper and hopping around and whatnot. Prayers go out. Of course, G-Ski from the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. Keep him in your prayers. They're on every Friday night. Sue from New Mexico, who's in our chat room. Welcome, Sue. Good to see you. And then Annie from Southern Sense Radio. Yeah, just keep them in your prayers a little bit, or a lot bit. Hey, what not? Hey, some recent obituaries. I know, morbid, but it's like one of the first things I used to turn to when I actually read a newspaper. Soap opera actress Lisa Brown, she was most noted, I guess, for Guiding Light and As the World Turns. She passed away last Wednesday at 67. Most of these, there were no cause given. Stephen Sondheim, composer, lyricist, he passed away last Friday at 91. He was an 8-time Tony winner. He won a Pulitzer. He won an Oscar and even 8 Grammy Awards. He wrote songs for the 1990 Dick Tracy movie. Remember that, with Warren Beatty and Madonna? He also wrote for West Side Story and for Sweeney Todd. Bowler Mark Roth passed away last Friday at 70. Complications of pneumonia. That's sad. He won 34 Professional Bowling Association titles. He was the first bowler to convert a 7-10 split on national television. I don't think I've ever converted one, ever. Don Phillips, age 80, he also passed away last Friday. He was a casting director for Dog Day Afternoon and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He was also a producer on the film Melvin and Howard. That was the Howard Hughes, not biopic, but sort of. Last Saturday, NFL Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champ Curly Culp passed away at 75 from pancreatic cancer. He played 14 seasons, half of them with the Kansas City Chiefs, including their Super Bowl win. after the 1969 season. And the rest, he played with the Houston Oilers and the Detroit Lions. Played college football at Arizona State, where he was also the 1967 NCAA heavyweight wrestling champion. You just don't see that much anymore. There were some guys that, you know, when Iowa was out, has been dominant in wrestling for a while. There was a guy I know. I remember Doug Ben Scooter. I actually met him at college. He was back visiting some friends. But he played for the football team, and he was an All-American wrestler, which is, you know, as a defensive and offensive lineman. I assume he wrestled heavyweight, but maybe not. Also Saturday, we lost Norwegian YouTuber Tor Eckhoff. He went by the moniker Apator or Apator. Most of his YouTube videos involved swimming and fishing and drinking vodka out on various lakes in his native Norway. Ironically, he fell through the ice last Saturday and eventually drowned. He was 57. No word on whether alcohol played a role, but evidently it played a role in his videos. Last Friday, we lost Cuban fashion designer Adolfo at age 98. No cause listed. When you're 98, I'm pretty sure, you know, they just chalk it up to natural causes, old age, whatever. Anyway, me and brother Tommy actually got some Adolfo cologne. I wonder if he remembers this one Christmas. I think it was either from our grandmother or from our parents or something, but it was good stuff. Not bad. American Olympic sprinter Emmett King was shot and killed this past Sunday. He was only 62. He ran on the U.S. World Championship team in 1983. He finished third behind Carl Lewis and Calvin Smith. And then those three were joined on the 4x100-meter relay team by Willie Gault. They set the world record at those championships. He's also part of the Olympic relay teams in 1984 and 1988, but did not actually run, or he didn't run in the final at either games. Golfer Lee Elder passed away last Sunday at age 87. Lee Elder was the first black golfer to play at the Masters in 1975. He faced a ton of hate mail and vitriol in his early years on tour, but he persevered. He eventually became a driving force in getting PGA events moved from clubs that did not admit black players. Man, he was courageous. He dealt with crap like this. So one tournament, someone took his ball from play and threw it into a hedge. Now, luckily, his playing partner at the time witnessed it and said, no, this is wrong. He got a free drop. But that's the kind of stuff, even in our lifetime, that black golfers would deal with. But he had 4 PGA Tour wins, 2 other wins of off the tour, and 8 senior PGA Tour wins, and also 2 wins on the Japan Senior Tour. He played on the 1979 U.S. Ryder Cup team, year that the Americans won, by the way. And then Monday, we lost actress Arlene Dahl. She was most famous for Journey to the Center of the Earth, but probably best known as the mother of actor Lorenzo Lamas. And then Monday, C.J. Hunter, American shot putter, no cause listed. He was only 52. Now, remember, he was married to Marion Jones, the sprinter. She won 5 events at the 2000, or no, she won 3 events at the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia, and had 2 bronze. He was involved in that Balco drug scandal, which also implicated Marion Jones, and so she eventually forfeited her 3 gold and 2 bronze medals. Kind of sad. Then yesterday we lost former Major League Baseball pitcher Lamar Hoyt at age 66. He was the 83 Cy Young winner with the White Sox. No cause listed, but as I said, 66. He spent 5 years with the White Sox and 2 with the Padres. His career was eventually derailed by several drug arrests. But, his 24-10 record in 1983 got him the Cy Young. Let's get into the politics and sports news. This first one probably belongs in the obituaries, but it's a terrible story. Otis Anderson Sr. has been charged with murder in the death of his son, who Otis Anderson Jr., former running back at UCF, Central Florida, as well as attempted murder on his wife. Apparently, according to Jacksonville, Florida police, they got into some type of altercation at their home, and then they got separated for a bit. He returned wherever they were with a gun. He killed his son, injured his wife, Yeah, O.J. Anderson was really popular at UCF. His former coach, Josh Heupel, he's now the coach at Tennessee, as well as basically the U.S. community, our UCF community, took to social media talking about it, their heartbreak. UCF placed his jersey in the stadium. People placed flowers. They posted videos of his highlights on their video board. Just a tragic loss. He spent some time with the Rams in training camp. And all thoughts were that he was eventually going to make it into the league, stick on a team. He was there at UCF from 2017 to 2020. That's terrible. So Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor says if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade or Planned Parenthood versus Casey, court will be seen as political. And she asks, and I quote, "Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts?" She answered with, "I don't see how it's possible." Okay, Justice Sotomayor, let's refresh our memories a bit here. You performed same-sex weddings weeks and days before the court ruled on same-sex marriage in the United States. You performed same-sex weddings before the court ruled that. You also ruled against bakers who objected to providing cakes for same-sex weddings on religious grounds. You have been anti-Second Amendment in almost every case that has come before you, either as a judge, part of a panel, or as part of the Supreme Court. So, yeah, given the clarity of the Second Amendment, I'd call what you've done exactly that, reading and a political act. And the thing is, if somebody else spoke up and said, not John Roberts, because he holds his finger up in the wind and sees which way it's blowing. But say Kavanaugh or Amy Coney Barrett or someone else, if a conservative justice spoke up and said, if we don't overturn this, what about unborn children? They'd be vilified, crucified. But in this case, no, she can speak out with no repercussions. It's unbelievable. I mean, if the left didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards. Been a rush of head coach hirings in college football, and we will get to this later on with the crew. But last few days, man, University of Washington hired Kalen DeBoer from Fresno State. And he replaces Jimmy Lake, who was fired during the season. Virginia Tech hired Brent Pry, the defensive coordinator from Penn State. He replaces Justin Fuentes, who was also fired during the season. This is a wild one. USC hired Lincoln Riley away from Oklahoma. Unbelievable. He technically replaces Clay Helton, who was fired after the second game of the season. LSU has hired Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame. Kelly leaves as their winningest coach. In the case of Kelly, for those of you, no, the deal is not $15 million per year. Somebody was saying that. No, it's reportedly only $9.5 million. And when you think about that, that's roughly the same annual as the Michigan State extension for Mel Tucker. One of these people has proven his worth. Nothing against Mel Tucker, but he hasn't proven it the way Brian Kelly has. Actually very under the radar in a way. Hey, welcome T. Bodie to the chat room. I see he's also on the phones. Yes, he does the double thing. By the way, at Oklahoma, former head coach Bob Stoops is going to coach the Sooners in their bowl game. But here's Oklahoma has lost 7 recruit commitments since Riley's announcement. 1, 5-star quarterback Malachi Nelson. He's the number 2 rated quarterback in the class of 2023. He's now committed to USC. In addition, 3 starters or impact players for them have entered the transfer portal, as well as preseason Heisman favorite, but later deposed as starting quarterback, Spencer Rattler. He has entered the transfer portal. So, yeah. What might be some more surprising is the list of coaches who are staying. James Franklin is staying at Penn State. PJ Fleck is staying at Minnesota. Dave Clawson is staying at Wake Forest. Mark Stoops is staying at Kentucky. And, of course, as mentioned, Mel Tucker is staying at Michigan State. Florida lured Billy Napier, sort of an up-and-comer, and they lured him away from Louisiana as well. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on. Here's the good news, or some good news. CNN has suspended Chris Cuomo indefinitely. In quotes, I say that in quotes, for his role in attempting to find help discrediting sexual harassment allegations against his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Yeah, per CNN, Cuomo was, quote, not truthful with viewers, unquote, when he said back in August that he did not contact other media members about his brother's scandal. Yeah, the leader in fake news, pretty much. CNN said the release of materials by the New York Attorney General office brought to light information that they did not previously have or know about. In fact, CNN even acknowledged that Cuomo was not out of line putting his brother ahead of his job. However, as more info came out, including him pushing for any info he could get on his brother's accusers, yeah, even CNN had to draw a line. So yeah, expect him back in a couple months, but for right now, he's suspended. Speaking of joke journalism, Bloomberg, I know it's called Bloomberg, I call it Gloomberg, they've been putting out articles basically defending Ghislaine Maxwell, or Ghislaine Maxwell. You know, she was the alleged roper for Jeffrey Epstein. If you'll remember, Epstein had the, well, what should we say? He alleged where numerous politicos and business honchos and other well-to-do types were engaging the services of underage girls at his private island. Epstein, of course, was arrested in 2019. He later committed suicide. He later committed suicide in prison. Let's just say that. So, as the Maxwell part of the case goes to trial this week, the court has ruled no cameras allowed in the courtroom. No cameras allowed in the courtroom. Now, don't know what to make of that, but, you know, I'll tell you what, some say it's to hide and protect those involved. It does not mean no journalists. It just means no cameras. Frankly, after the Rittenhouse trial, I'm kind of inclined to agree. Folks, the info is available. It isn't any sort of secret. It's just a trial conducted without cameras. And going back to the Casey Anthony trial, I can't fault a court that wants to minimize the sensationalizing of any trial like this. Hell, we had MSDNC attempting to intimidate jurors in the Rittenhouse trial. Not to mention those who lambasted the jury and Kyle Rittenhouse after the not guilty verdicts. Worse, though, misinformation put out by some of our less trustful media outlets makes it almost impossible for an impartial or fair or legitimate trial at some point. It really does. I've got a caller here. Let's see what they have to say. Good evening. You're on Hank Jones Polysports. What's your name? If you turn your down, I'd probably be able to hear you. Okay, we're going to have to say bye to that caller because they're either not listening or don't know that they hit the one on their phone, except they came in through the Skype thing, so who knows. On the flip side, we have a media that is all but ignoring the Waukesha auto attacks. And worse, we have senators, U.S. senators from Wisconsin, that are saying not to politicize it. Seriously. Seriously? Look, I don't want sensational and media frenzy any more than any other sane, rational person. But come on, this is totally being ignored. You know, they don't ignore school shootings. They don't ignore January 6th. In fact, they've taken every opportunity to tell everything but the truth about January 6th, while at the same time they do ignore the the abuse of rights of many of the accused, but they've totally dropped this Waukesha thing. Vito makes a good point. You think the Omicron variant is designed to take away from some of this stuff? Maybe it's designed to get us not to celebrate Christmas with our families? I can't say no to that, that's for sure. Okay, so now let's move on. Not only is Dr. Fauci saying that Senators Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and others are dangerous in their attacks on him because he, quote, represents scientists or science. Well, Doc Fauci is going all in on science now, saying Senator Cruz needs to face scrutiny for the January 6th incident. Yeah, on what science he bases that, I have no clue. Then again, neither does he. Truly amazing, truly amazing. Well, you know, while courts are slapping down mandates, Fauci and OSHA and La Dopey Nostra are still telling employers to, quote, act as if the mandate is in effect. So, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, okay. I don't know. Who does he think he is? I mean, he has been so inconsistent and so all over the place with this. And now he's piping in that Ted Cruz needs to face scrutiny for January. Where does he even come up with that? I mean, he says they shouldn't attack him because he represents science. I've never seen a more inconsistent science out of anyone than I have with him. Look, I can't make this stuff up. I simply can't. If I could, I'd be writing TV and movie scripts. I wouldn't have a real job. I literally, if I could make up stuff like Fauci, I would. That's what I would do. Oh, by the way, for those that care, LaJuan James is in the NBA health and safety protocol. He actually missed last night's game for the Lakers. In addition to that and his suspension that he recently served, LaJuan is repeatedly being schooled and embarrassed by fellow players regarding his lack of knowledge about human rights violations in China. Yeah, you know, after saying that a guy with two master's degrees wasn't informed enough to speak up for Hong Kong protesters. God, I hate even talking about him. Oh, I got the, okay, so just, my wife just brought this up again. So I'm watching on YouTube this morning on my Roku. I'm watching yesterday's press thing at the Big Ten, or it was a press conference. It wasn't at the Big Ten, you know, it wasn't in Indianapolis. I'm watching Kirk Ferentz's press conference, Coach Ferentz's press conference, and he's talking, you know, going on. It was near the beginning, so my wife comes out and she says, "Oh, is this the press conference where he resigns?" I don't mind telling you, for a brief second, I was thinking, "What the?" And then I realized she had that look. You know, she gets that look. Either that or she's clueless. Yeah, that might be. It got the heart pumping a little bit. So, hey, I told the crew we were going to do this. So we're going to take a quick break, put on a little Christmas song for Brother Tommy. And then we're going to come back. We got more college football today than usual because, by gosh, the Iowa Hawkeyes are in the Big Ten championship game this weekend. Exactly, Mrs. Hank. No, I'm not going. I'm going to tell you why right now. Okay, so remember I was at my daughter's wedding. Mrs. Hank was there too. We were at our daughter's wedding, and you don't exactly miss that kind of stuff. So, of course, she's coming home this weekend. First time since she's been married, she's coming home. Really since before COVID, yeah, but first time since she's been married. She's coming home a married woman, let's put it that way. For a visit, she's going to a wedding, and she's stopping in. She's got some family doing stuff. And so, you know what? That's this Saturday. I wanted to. We were all going to crash at Indy Hawks. We might still give out Indy Hawks address for the post-game party. But anyway, yeah, my daughter's coming home this weekend. Now, she and my wife know enough to not get in the way during the game itself. You know, and then nobody's going to come in and grab the Roku player out of my hand and switch it to. Oh, she's already made dinner plans with friends, so that makes it easier. So, yes, I am going to be watching the game. I'm going to be pacing like I did in 2015. Here's the irony. In 2015, I didn't go because the next week we were heading out to Texas where she had just moved. We were heading out there to visit her, take her dog to her and stuff. So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to start making travel plans around this time every year with my daughter, either inbound or outbound, and that way – maybe we'll start making the Big Ten championship game every year. Anyway, little Christmas song for Brother Tommy, and then we'll be back with the crew. So crew guys, get ready, get your phones on, and get your one pushed. We'll be back. Bring in the crew. Mike, you are in first, so welcome. How you doing, man? Mike, you there?
Evidently not good.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm here. I had it muted. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Hank.
Okay. Brother Tommy, how you doing, man?
Doing good, and I will you turned me on to that song a few months ago. I'll tell you what, that went from top five to arguably top three of Christmas songs of all time. I just freaking love that song. Oh, God,
okay.
Is that beautiful.
I turned you on to it last Christmas. It wasn't a few months ago. It was like almost 12
months
ago. Yeah,
my time distortion. All right, time distortion on my back.
Indy
Hawk,
what's up, man?
Hey, well, how's it going, guys? I'm doing well.
Good. And T. Bodie, you didn't hit your one, but I've got you in here. Are you there?
I hit my one.
Oh,
right.
He fucks it up every week. He fucks it up every week.
Hey, and welcome Vito. Vito's in the chat room. Vito's in the chat room. Anybody that's listening not in the chat room, get in there. Vito's in the chat room. So.
Well, good.
Okay,
Vito. God bless him because he always plays my entrance song. You don't.
Brother Tom, I want my own entrance song.
I just gave you a Christmas song.
I think you deserve one. I agree. Hank doesn't do it, though. He's like, oh, we got a time constraint here. Vito will do it. Call when Vito substitutes. He'll play you an entrance song. Vito does it right.
All right.
Sorry.
Not a problem. Okay. So we're going to start last week, surprises. T. Bodie, we're going to start with you because you won last week with an awesome record. We'll get to that in a second. But what was your big surprise last week?
Well, I guess the fact that Michigan destroyed Ohio State, but there was just my big thing about last week was it was a great weekend of football, and it's carried on by all the drama with the coaching carousel this week and this week's games. It's a great time of the year to love college football.
Yeah, it is. No two ways about it. How about you, Indy? What surprised you last weekend?
Definitely Michigan. The way they, you know, handled Ohio State up front was surprising. So, and then, you know, the Hawks did what they had to do, and then the fact the Gophers won. So, that, man, Big Ten championship. That's
awesome.
Wasn't expected.
Mike, how about you?
Yeah, same thing. You know, I mean, Michigan's win was pretty impressive. But Minnesota coming through and knocking off Wisconsin, really the topping on the cake.
Yeah, no two ways about it. And Brother Tommy, your big surprise last weekend?
Echo chamber of, I think it was Indy Hawk, two things. Michigan didn't really surprise me that much, but the two that did was Minnesota. And, yes, I picked Minnesota, and I picked Iowa. Obviously, I picked Iowa for sentimental reasons, but I was very, very surprised with Iowa and Minnesota.
Yeah, no two ways about it. I can't argue with any of those. In the rankings, by the way, Georgia, of course, is number one. Michigan jumped to number two. They leapfrogged Alabama and Cincinnati. So that was kind of a, you know, of course, that's the kind of, you know, they had a dominating performance. So they really, you know, they belong there. Iowa has moved up to 13. We're still trailing Ohio State and Michigan State, and I have no problem with that. We're actually ahead of Oklahoma. And I think that's one that surprised me was Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I really thought Oklahoma, you know, it had settled down after losing to Baylor. And then not only to lose that, but as T. Bodie said, on the heels of that, Lincoln Riley taking the USC job. I mean, what in? Man, that came out of nowhere. I mean, just out
smart
of nowhere.
Move. It was the smart move. He made the smart move. I don't think Kelly did.
Yeah, I think so. I think Tommy's right on that because, you know, I think he's got had some cold feet about going into the SEC, which
absolutely,
you know, maybe is,
yep,
is smart. Is yep. Smart. You know, that Oklahoma and Texas are going to struggle in the SEC. You can make an argument they're better off staying where they were in terms of having the records and being able to get into the playoffs because it ain't going to happen in the SEC, I don't think.
First 4 years, Oklahoma is going to be 6-6 at best in the SEC. 6-6 at best. They will adapt and they will learn that they have to do defense. But no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, big struggle.
Did you guys see how Oklahoma lost that game? That
I did
not.
They dropped.
Hell yeah!
The guy tried to field a punt at the 5-yard line. Oklahoma State got it and went in and won the game.
Oh, I did not know that.
I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of like the Michigan State win over Michigan back in 2015 where, you know, you had one job as the snapper and the punter. And, you know, and
yeah.
I don't know. It just
good segue into Auburn, Alabama.
Oh, my God. Okay. So somebody who watched all of Auburn or who watched the end of Auburn, Alabama? Anyone?
I did. And the fact that I went out of bounds. If he did not go out of bounds and he played smart football, Auburn wins that game.
Yep. Tommy and I watched that.
So what did you see?
Yeah, we were
T-Bodie?
Texting back and forth. Yeah.
I mean, they were what? They were up with 2 minutes left. They were up 7, right? They were up 10 at one point.
The game
Auburn
was over.
No, it's like a minute 35. They're up 10-3, and Alabama has the ball at their own 3. They go 97 yards in a minute 35.
Game was over. Oh, God. So, one of the guys said, real quick, Hank, and then I'll shut up. One of the guys said it was a freaking great week or great Saturday of college football.
Yeah,
it doesn't
no doubt.
Get any better than
no,
that.
I agree.
Between, we all have a rooting heart for the Minnesota-Wisconsin game, obviously. But the Auburn game was fantastic. It was. It's why we get the chills in August, because college football is right around the corner. That exemplified everything college football is about. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, okay, so Brother Tommy, we have to ask you this question. We're waiting for the answer. So you've been picking Michigan for a while.
Yeah.
And you've stayed on them. I thought you'd stayed on them just because you picked them and you couldn't turn away, so to speak. Were you shocked by the way they dominated Ohio State? Or I mean, were you
shocked
really
by the domination?
That?
I agreed with Hawkeye Mike to a certain extent, but then I went with my true gut and I went with Michigan. But I agreed with Hawkeye Mike after the Michigan State debacle that Ohio State did to them. I was tempted to go Ohio State, but no. And the reason is real simple. All you got to do is go back to the beginning of the season, and Michigan has a poor run defense. They have no gap discipline. They've got no – they don't play disciplined football. And that's why later we'll talk about Iowa and why I think Iowa might be able to beat Michigan, but they didn't play it. So, yes, I was shocked after the Michigan State game, but I wasn't overly shocked. But I stuck to my guns, I was kind of shocked that Michigan won, but I was really shocked that they bitch-slapped Ohio State. They didn't win. They bitch-slapped them. I know the score was only a 12-point or whatever differential, but they bitch-slapped them.
Okay, so now you have to answer this one. You were, although you didn't pick them in our picks, you were all over us Iowa losing to the best damn 3-9 team in America. So explain that one.
I picked Iowa, as you know, and I was actually right in a sense.
You didn't want to pick them, though. You didn't want to pick them.
I'll tell you, and you're absolutely right. And guess what? I was vindicated. I was right for not wanting to pick them because you cannot prognosticate a blocked punt. You cannot prognosticate things like that. Sorry, Nebraska deserved to win that game. Iowa pulled it out of their ass. Iowa scored 53 points in the last two games. Guess what? They have two offensive touchdowns. Most teams get that in a quarter, maybe a half. Iowa's done it in eight quarters. So I was right, but I was happy that Iowa did win. Yes, the game's the game, and a blocked punt is a blocked punt. But I thought Nebraska outplayed us. Certainly outplayed our offense, which is not tough to do. But, yeah, no, I stick to my guns on that one.
Well, no, wait a minute. They didn't outplay us. They might have outplayed us in the first, you know, half and maybe the first part of the third quarter. But Iowa clearly outplayed them in the last quarter.
Let me rephrase real quick. They outplayed our offense. You're right. Our special teams came through and our defense came through. Okay.
Well, of course, the drive. No. Let's be a little credit to Iowa's offense. The what won the game was a 76-yard drive in the fourth quarter.
The one offensive touchdown.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have two turnovers.
Well, I'll tell you, it was better than the one offensive touchdown we got against Illinois. I'll give you that.
Let's go to T. Bodie here for a second. T. Bodie, at what point did you think, the Hawks got this?
At kickoff. When we scored that first touchdown and it was called back, I thought we were going to play with them, and we did play with them. The fact that they got so far ahead was just weird. So, the time when they came back, shit. Did anyone expect that comeback? That was one of the biggest comebacks anyone's seen.
I know I didn't. I did not.
Yeah, it was.
I was texting with you guys, and I'm like, we're not coming 20, back.
22
so,
points.
Hey, I'll admit it when I'm wrong.
Okay, now, Indy, when did you feel comfortable and say, we're taking control of this?
Well, not till the very end of the game. You know, I thought Petras came in and made a couple great. That he threw a laser to who's this receiver? 89
Laporta.
Reganey.
Reganey.
Yeah, Reganey. threw a laser to Reganey and then put a touch pass on Laporta over the linebacker. That was a deep play. And then he goes back to being Petrus. He makes a couple dumb throws. But there was the line is developing. The long run by Goodson. That's a highlight reel. That they had like five offensive linemen 10 to 15 yards downfield throwing blocks.
Yeah, that was that play. I mean, I wish we'd have seen it early. And you know, here's the thing. You know, when they talk about the pass to beat Penn State, and the same thing here. I really hope they're not like thinking that they can just get away with doing that one big play every game. We saw a little less jet sweeps.
Right.
We didn't see six jet sweeps, so that was a positive. But yeah,
well,
okay.
And the encouraging thing too, we outgained Nebraska. Nebraska has the third best defense in the Big Ten. We outgained them. Total yards, our offense outgained Nebraska's offense.
We replaced the jet sweep double reverse.
Okay.
That's because of
in other words, we replaced the jet sweep with a different version of the jet sweep.
Okay, yep. So who's saying, who here says, well, I'll start with Mike. Was Laporta's touchdown a touchdown or not?
You know, let's put it this way. It was ruled a touchdown initially, and they reversed it. And I don't think it was clear and convincing that it wasn't a catch. So just from that point of view, they should have the play should have stood. And I mean, it was close, you know. But I thought he had it enough that it should have been. You know, maybe I'm biased that it should have been a touchdown. And that was, you know, that game, that and the fumble at the Nebraska 6 by Goodson. You know, Iowa could have made this a lot easier on for themselves. They get those scores.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay. Specifically on the comeback, what do you think? I mean, you think it was strictly the blocked punt that was the turning point? Because I mean, yes, it was a turning point. But, okay, Indy, you think the blocked punt was the turning point?
It's hard to say. If you watch that Goodson run I was talking about, you would think we won by 50. I mean, it was a total just dominated them on the D-line. But then, but I'll tell you what, Kirk Ferentz, I don't know how he does it. We win more ugly games than – I wish there was a stat for that because he'd be number one.
That's true.
Yeah, he'd have to be up there. Mike, what do you think the turning point was? You think it was a block punt? You think it was – something else?
Yeah, you know, it was the block punt, but I would say that the right before that, I think, you know, you asked like what happened, you know, why we're behind 21-6. That fumble at the start of the third quarter on the sixth after a long drive, and then Nebraska goes 94 yards to make it 21-6. That was a huge momentum shift. So the only way it was reversed was by that block punt. So that was key play.
Yeah,
but let's say that punt happens in the normal game, which, you know, sometimes it happens, but not often. The real turning point of the momentum was when he fumbled on the next series. Nebraska's quarterback fumbled.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we didn't score. We didn't do anything.
We were three and out, but. Well, yeah, but then we pinned them down there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's where the point I was going to say where I suddenly thought. You know, Smothers had been gashing us, but he'd been pretty successful up to that point. When we got that safety, something said, okay, we figured him out. And you know what? After that, they never threatened again. You know, but it was like when we got that safety, that's when I knew, the D is in control now. That's when I kind of thought, you know, this is looking pretty good. That was my particular thing. So. Let's go to the coaching changes. We're going to start with Indy. What coaching changes jump out at you? Which is bigger, Riley or Kelly?
I don't know. I mean, Riley was the more surprising to me. I think Kelly, you know, they haven't won a national title under him, correct?
Correct.
They played
in the BCS championship against Bama in 2012, and then they made the playoff in 2018 and 2020.
But this gets really interesting. I heard a guy talking on the CFP committee saying we look at, you know, the past history, how they did, you know, does this impact, you know, going forward? I mean, you're talking about, I believe it was the assistant under Lincoln Riley said, this thing happened so fast, Brian Kelly, Kelly, that they're literally like, we're moving to USC in like 20 seconds or 20 minutes because you have early recruiting. Like, there's no option. And if you're taking a couple of your assistants, are they going to have these guys show up, play for a national championship with whole new coaching staff or a bunch of interns coaching? So that kind of mucks the whole thing up. But that early recruiting period, the guy was saying, you got 10 days. You got to get, you know, Lincoln's heading out to USC to try to, you know, calm everybody down and bring in recruits, lock them in.
They need to change that recruiting period time frame for just the integrity of football, so this happened before the championship games. Because BARDA even said on the radio today, they will consider coaches and players that are not playing in games when they make their selection this week. So how fair is that to the Notre Dame players if they're actually in contention, but because they don't have a head coach, they may get passed over. Not that I care, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they could get passed over. I mean, several things have to happen for them to make the CFP, but New Year's Six, even, you know, there's a chance they're going to lose out on a New Year's Six bowl because I think Mike and Brother Tommy mentioned, you know, did Riley not want to play in the SEC? Here's the thing, you know, there's that factor. I'm wondering if, you know, remember they talked about when the SEC stuff was happening that quote unquote administrators at both schools were able to keep a lid on everything that was going on. Well, you know what? If Lincoln Riley was included or should I say not included in that discussion, I totally understand it because he's probably thinking, you know what? Just because Texas is going, why do we have to go? You know, he's playing, in a sense, he's playing second fiddle to Texas. And, you know, I get it. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to play in the SEC. And as a couple have said, you know, they're 6-6 at best, at least in the beginning. Here's the thing, though, that this is the fallout from the Riley that really gets me. They've lost what? They've had 7 decommits. They've had the number 2 quarterback in the 2023 class commit to USC. That tells me that he's not necessarily leaving on the best of terms. So, T-Bodie, you're more in touch with that part of it. I mean, you know, you've seen that side of it. I mean, are players? Do you think players are resenting him big time? Or
don't you think? I mean, just think of all the ones that are defecting anyhow. I'm going to make another point that I heard today. I spent some, you know, windshield time over the last couple of days, so listen to ESPN radio and such. But the same agent. It was the same agent for both those coaches, for Lincoln Riley and for Kelly.
They put really?
Together. Imagine that.
Yeah.
He's an ex-Bears player, too. He used to play for the Bears, this agent that they were talking about, which is kind of interesting that a pro, he didn't play very long in the league, but anyhow.
Okay, Brother Tommy,
One other quick point about Riley leaving, and I agree it might have a lot to do with the SEC, but also just the fact of the whole recruiting that West Coast gives him versus recruiting against his competition now. You know, you're all of a sudden you're recruiting against the SEC schools and for the same players, and you can't say, I'm going to bring you all here and here. It's like, well, shoot, I can just stay in Florida.
Yeah, that's the thing that I would have, if Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, if I'm the other schools, one of the things I say to them is, you've literally just invited the SEC into the Dust Bowl, into central U in the United States. You've invited the SEC into Texas. Thank you very much, Longhorns. I mean, that's what I don't get. I don't get the move by Texas and Oklahoma, but I really am starting to wonder if Riley was already thinking, you know, in those terms. You know, I actually get Riley leaving more than I do Kelly. I don't get Kelly at all, but you know, who knows? Here's something
that's
else.
Yeah,
a couple people have said that Urban Meyer would be the next coach at Notre Dame. He has said, supposedly, that he is not leaving the NFL for a college coaching job. So who believes
him? Who will it be, do you think? Yeah, who will
I don't know. Who believes Urban Meyer? Raise your hand, so to speak. I mean, Brother Tommy, you said Urban to Notre Dame. Do you believe him?
I don't anymore. I'm going to backtrack to the one thing that you guys were just talking about. It's Occam's razor. I mean, you guys are overcomplicating this shit. You're so overcomplicating it. He wants to get out of the SEC. Hawkeye Mike agreed with me. That's why he wants to get out. He knows he's not going to be able to compete in the SEC. And then you look at Brian. It's a no-brainer. You got to go now because you got to get the recruits, and you don't have the restrictions that Notre Dame has. He's playing for a national championship. Now I would say I would say that does, and Hawkeye Mike and I were texting back and forth. That did perplex me a little bit, but I know what he's doing. I figured it out. He's got to go now because he's got to get his recruits, and he's just thinking with the limited academic standards they have at LSU, he's got a better chance of winning a championship. And the bottom line is, don't kid yourself. These guys want to win national championships. He's been to the CFP 3 times. He's like, okay, I got to fucking state my, announce my presence with authority. And he's going for the big kahuna. And after doing due diligence on it, he's a very arrogant, egotistical, narcissistic son of a bitch. So he's going for the big kahuna. So we overcomplicate the why. We overcomplicate the why. Why? Because they want to win. And there's no fucking way Oklahoma gets 7 wins in the SEC once they go there unless they drastically change their style of football. The SEC will eat them up. The Kentuckys of the world, the Vanderbilts of the world, will fucking beat them. So,
okay,
smart move by Riley. Okay. Not I'm on the fence with Kelly.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
One other thing about Kelly, one thing about Kelly too is I can't remember the show now. At my age, my mind's gone. I can't remember things that happened 10 minutes ago. But anyway, there was a discussion on I don't know whether it was on the Big Ten Network or somewhere that Kelly had been wandering around a little bit, supposedly inquiring on some NFL jobs. So we're looking maybe here at somebody that has had kind of the itch to go somewhere else. And, he didn't really know. It all came to a head, when he went to LSU. It came out of the blue to me. But when I heard that, it kind of made me think, I guess he's 61. So he's got to – if he's going to make a move, he's got to do it, And apparently he's been a little bit looking for what do I want to do next kind of thing. But it's still a head-scratcher to me because I don't know, understand – the ultimate destination school, Notre Dame. I don't understand why you leave to go to LSU, but you did.
Yeah.
Hey,
9.5 million reasons maybe, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? You tell Debbie, the secretary at Notre Dame, okay, Mr. Kelly wants 9 million. Hey, Debbie, go into petty cash, get him 9 million. I mean, Notre Dame's got the financial wherewithal to give him whatever the fuck he wants. So that is not it. It is not money.
Okay, let's take a different tack for a second. Indy Hawk, I'm going to ask you to start this one. Indy Hawk, okay, so here are the coaches that are staying at their schools. James Franklin, Mark Stoops, Mel Tucker, although he hadn't really had much, but Dave Clawson at Wake and P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, because they've all been talking.
Don't be so sure about Mark Stoops.
Mark Stoops just signed an extension.
Might be Oklahoma's next coach.
He just signed an extension.
My brother,
doesn't
the ultimate Iowa State guy, told me that that Oklahoma offered Campbell $8 million and he turned him down. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Okay, so Indy, which of those that I mentioned, which one shocks you most that he stayed?
Probably Fleck at Minnesota. I kind of thought Penn State's pretty. He's got a good situation there, and he's doing some good things there. But I do think Campbell may have waited too long. His stock's dropped a little bit, but I know he wants the Notre Dame is one of the two schools that he said he. It's a question whether would they want him.
Yeah. T. Bodie, which one shocks you the most?
Oh, I think the fact that they're all jumping ships and moving around, and Indy said, it's a carousel puzzle. You know, they're just one filling in. So that's what's most surprising, just that there's so many of them doing it.
Shocked most about Franklin, because much like Lincoln Riley probably doesn't want to compete in the SEC, Franklin's got to be getting awfully tired of playing in the Big Ten East. I mean, he's
where do you go though?
You know, well, he was in the talk for USC early on, and he's, you know, here he comes in and signs an extension. Mark Stoops has signed an extension at Kentucky. I don't think there's absolutely no
attention to extension signings. It means nothing. They can still get out of the contract. It means nothing.
I agree. He could be the next Oklahoma coach.
Yeah.
Most revered coach, short of Barry Switzer, who's the most revered coach in the last 50 years at Oklahoma? Bob Stoops. Who's his brother? Mark Stoops. It doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist to read the tea leaves. I'm not saying he's going there. I think Iowa should have backed up the Brinks truck and gotten Mark Stoops personally. They didn't. So be it. But don't discount Mark Stoops going to Oklahoma. Don't discount it.
Maybe they're backing up the truck now, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I can't, Oklahoma's out of the playoff, you know, at this point. They were out of the playoff, and they're pretty much out of a New Year's Six, probably. But, man, I mean, I don't know. That one shocks me, I think, more than Kelly. I think Kelly
– In
Kelly
3 years, Oklahoma's going to be present-day Nebraska in 3 years. Nebraska went to the Big Ten. Oklahoma's going to the SEC. They are no longer going to be the perennial powerhouse. You'll see.
Okay, so let's throw this one. Mike, I'll throw this one to you, since you probably have a little more exposure to Big 12 than I do, certainly. Who does better in the SEC, Texas or Oklahoma?
That's a good question, and I don't really know, but I don't think either one of them is going to prosper that much. They might prosper.
They will not
financially.
Yes.
They'll prosper financially, which is the reason they're doing it, which is sucks because money's everything now. But in terms of the program and the wins and things like that, neither one of them is going to prosper, I don't think, in the SEC.
Correct. I agree. Texas has the better chance because they've got Texas recruiting. Mike's absolutely right.
You could have said that for the last 20 years, though.
Yeah,
exactly.
Texas has more money.
So what do you throw it up to? Neither one play defense, so what do you throw it up to? You got to throw it up to recruits. I'm saying they have a better chance. I think they're both going to be 6-6 at best for the first 3 years. They're going to get their asses handed to them when they see how teams actually play defense.
Texas is 6-6 this year.
That's true.
Okay, let's go back to T. Bodie because of the – you mentioned something, the early signing period. What would you suggest? What do you think would work better?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think they're still trying to figure out the whole portal system and how to take advantage of that in recruiting. I don't know. I just think that they need to lay down some sort of rules or something just so this doesn't happen until following week. You know, let the season get over. Think about how great Bob Bowlesby's dancing right now. You know, he is hating it when he heard Texas and Oklahoma blindsided him and jumped to the SEC. And now guess who he's got coming in? Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, three schools that are in the top 20 and playing for conference championships. And he's also got CFU, which is always usually good, and has 70,000 students in Orlando.
Yep.
Fucking Big 12 is going to be a great conference.
All right. I hate to be that mean guy. Dumbest fucking argument I've ever heard in my life. The Big 12 is fucking done. No, it's not. Who have they played? All right, my bad. All right, go ahead.
They did a great competitive conference. They did well. Think about it.
Well, yeah, Cincinnati. Conference that plays no teams. Yeah, I did real well against the JV team when I was a varsity guy.
Those teams have no revenue. Those teams have no revenue. Facilities, I mean, they're going to go down.
And the four-star in Cleveland, Ohio, is going to go to Cincinnati or Ohio State. Let me debate that. Come on. Guys,
Here's another question. I'll throw this to Indy first, and then I'll ask T. Bodie to pipe in since he actually played college football. Transfer portal. You see all these guys jumping.
That's a lie.
What?
T. Bodie played college football.
He went to Iowa.
He transferred to Iowa. He took the transfer portal to Iowa, as a matter of fact.
Didn't look like a football player to me.
But looked like a great guy.
Was a great guy, but he did not play college football.
Indy. Okay, so this transfer portal stuff, guys are announcing even in mid-season now, some of them. You think it's part of the reason is because, you know, that they're announcing now rather than wait until, like, say, after a bowl game? You think it's because let's take Deuce Hogan. He's entered the portal from Iowa. He's not going to play this year, barring, you know, double injury.
Right.
You think these guys are doing it so that they can get early into the, you know, that teams are with the signing period so that they're holding the spot open for them? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a crapshoot. I mean, I'm worried that, you know, gosh, take Iowa. What happens? Isn't some team going to end up without a quarterback in this? I mean, guys transfer out. I'm out. You know, you don't want to wait 2 or 3 years. What happens if you get caught without a quarterback? It's really crazy how much movement there is. And they show up, they play next year.
Yeah.
So, and here's Iowa. You know, you don't play first year at Iowa. You wait.
Yeah. Well, T. Bodie, But T. Bodie, okay, so I'm going to ask T. Bodie on that do you think the transfer rule is good, or do you think they need to sit a year still?
I think that they should have some sort of repercussion. Otherwise, you do have them hopping and jumping. I think that you got to have, you know, otherwise you think about that.
Yeah.
And now they don't have to think about it.
Let's throw it back, though. Kelly and Riley leave. You really think it's fair for their players to have to be able to move this freely?
$64,000 question right there. My friend that played Division I football at Illinois, that's the question. Is it fair? And it's not, because they get recruited by these guys. And incidentally, when you talk about the transfer portal, who was really affected by Oliver Martin? He was at Michigan. He was at Iowa. He was at Nebraska. The guy never shined. So,
What's your point, though? He got out of the system.
I'll tell you my point. They make too big of a deal out of the transfer portal. And I do agree with Hank in the sense that why can the coaches do it? They can go from $8 million this year to $9 million next year, but the players can't. The players have a tremendous bond with the people that recruited them. And then they subsequently are sent up their rental arena that, the coach that you love, the reason you came here, he's gone. He's going to get his $500,000 if he's an assistant coach.
Well,
he's going to get $6 million if he's a head coach.
Go ahead, T-Bone.
They probably need to have an exclusion for if you lose your coach. Just they kind of made it easier back in the day.
Have an exception
to the portal.
Now I would agree with that 100%. Yes, I would agree with that 100%.
But the norm should be sit out a year.
And the other
That's what it used to be until the transfer portal.
You need to go back.
You had to sit out a year. Yeah, right.
The other thing about it is you get your five-star athletes, but you got a lot of three-star athletes and stuff that it doesn't, like you just said, it doesn't matter if they go from one school to another. So it really doesn't matter, but your star players and things like that. And most of those players don't even really know their head coach unless they're a senior or unless they're the star running back or the star quarterback. They know their position coaches. You talk about the coaches that recruited them, it's the position coaches, not the head coach, except for the star players.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of transferring unequivocally like the portal, and I'm not a fan of NIL, which, believe it or not, it's subtle, but NIL leads to this shit. It's like, oh, I'm at Eastern Michigan, but I'm good. I can go to University of Michigan and get a few dollars.
I think when you combine transfer portal and NIL, I think that definitely hurts the lower
it's
level schools.
It's a recipe for disaster, which is
but on the other side of it, as somebody pointed out, when somebody said, "Do you think Deuce Hogan's leaving for a place that'll have better NIL?" Well, what kind of NIL is out there for a third team quarterback who's taken like four snaps in his career? I really don't see.
I can name 20 schools right now that have a better NIL than Iowa. That are lesser teams than Iowa.
But again, though, that's great if Spencer Petras, so to speak. But Spencer Petras isn't leaving as long as he's a starter. Deuce Hogan's leaving, but if he really thinks he's going to get NIL as a third-team Iowa quarterback, you know, I'm sorry. That just doesn't – I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's something – some of the stuff's got to be fleshed out better. I mean, they need to make
adjustments. Don't look at facts. Look at motivation. The motivation is I can get NIL. Don't look at facts. Remember, these guys, they don't think straight. They're fucking 18-year-olds. Yes, I can go over there, and if I make it, and they all think they're going to make it, and that's what makes them extraordinary athletes, they think they're going to make it. In their brain, they're going to make it. Todd, my buddy that played at Illinois, he's like, every one of them thought they were going pro. Now, that's a mindset. Now, the mindset is, if I'm going to go over here, I know I'm going to make it. I was in a bad system, blah, blah, blah. They think they're going to get NIL money. I'm just saying, that's just human nature.
Yeah.
Did Hogan say anything about that?
No. But somebody brought it up in one of the chat forums on Hawkeye Nation or Hawkeye Report. One of those said, you think NIL's a factor? And it's like, no. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. He's third team. He's not, you know, there's not much prospect. Supposedly, he was also kind of passed up by this Joey Labus kid. You know, so that remains to be seen. And we won't ever see it because, you know, he's not here next year, so to speak. Now, here's the other side of it. What about those guys in the transfer portal that don't get any calls? You know, Caleb Shudak, Iowa's kicker, was in the portal a couple of years ago. Davion Nixon was in the portal, not necessarily for the same reason, but, you know, what about, I mean, whereas Desmond Hudson's in the portal and he's, I assume he's not going to be in any bowl game. I assume he's not making the trip to Indy. I don't know about Deuce Hogan, if he'll make the trip to Indy. I mean, you know, that's between each school. Each school can make that decision. But, you know, some guys have just left right in the middle and said, I'm out of here. I'm not staying around. I mean, that's where I think it hurts. I mean, that's, you know, although guys can quit just as easily. So that's kind of, you know. But here's where I really think that this is where it really comes in is what's happening to Oklahoma. I mean, they're losing, you know, seven guys now at this point. I mean, or between commitments and then probably seven more in the transfer portal. That's devastating to Oklahoma, especially as they're moving into the SEC. Yep. You know, holy crap. So.
Yeah, they've always been.
Riley, everyone wants to sympathize with.
They get into the CFP and they lose by 30 points first round.
Yeah, but, true. Mike, what were you saying?
Riley really hamstrung Oklahoma, I think. I mean, it's costing them all kinds of their recruits and a little bit kicking them when they're down, you know, right after the Oklahoma State loss. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're an Oklahoma fan, it's pretty brutal. Yeah,
definitely. So Indy, let's have you start something here. We got 9 games this weekend. Yeah, 9 games. So Indy, who do you think? Well, I'm trying to think how I want to put that. I messed something up here in my chart. So. Okay, I got it. We're going to get this fixed. So,
just ask India's thoughts.
Okay, so Indy, we got nine games this weekend. You know, conference championships, et cetera. Realistically, how many of them do we really need? I mean, Western Kentucky UTSA for, I think it's Conference USA. Is that, I mean, that's, each conference has its own thing. What effect does that have? Do you see anything? I mean, do you see teams dogging it, or do you see, I mean, did you even pick? Yeah, you made a pick on Western Kentucky UTSA. How many people are going to be watching that?
It was difficult. I had to use Google.
Yeah.
The interesting stuff is I found a scenario where Iowa – the interesting thing is the CFP and all the things that can happen, how up in the air the whole CFP is right now. You know, what do you do with Notre Dame who's not playing anybody? You got the coaches. But for Iowa, I'll tell you what I'm rooting for. Here it is. I heard it today. Hawkeyes have to jump Oregon, so Oregon can lose this week. That's huge. Iowa may or may not jump Notre Dame. We need Cincinnati to lose. We need Alabama to get beaten badly. And then it comes down to Iowa or Alabama for that fourth spot. Again,
oh,
we have to beat
Oh, my God. Michigan. We're in – if the Queen has
also,
balls,
also
the
need
Queen
ba- don't you need
King
Baylor
territory.
To beat Oklahoma
give
State
me
too.
A break. Come on.
You need Baylor to beat Oklahoma State, too.
Oh, my God. Are you guys really entertaining this? I thought I was a fucking Hawkeye honk.
It's a
Are you guys
shot,
really entertaining
it's,
this? We're
going to
jump from 13. We're going to jump from 13 to 4 with 5 teams not playing. Really? Okay.
This wasn't an Iowa thing.
Right.
This is just,
well,
just
what is it?
CFP
if it wasn't
scenario.
An Iowa thing, you just got done laying down the groundwork how Iowa's going to make it
well,
no,
but what
football
was,
playoff.
What was,
then you say it's
well,
not an Iowa thing.
It listed off everybody what has to happen. That's kind of my point was how neat it is that we have so many scenarios. And they went through and they showed here's what has to happen for all these. There's like nine teams that can make the CFP still into the final weekend, and Iowa was one of them. But it's a long shot. But
yeah,
that's why it's 7% according to the 538 guys.
What was it? So that's up from like 4 or 2% or whatever, right?
Yeah,
9%.
Yeah, so that I think I kind of was looking for it, like okay, because I didn't see how it could happen. But what they're saying is you got to.
Because it can't happen. It cannot happen.
Brother Tommy, let him finish. Let him finish.
My bad. Okay, let's do nonsense. My bad.
You're saying maybe Iowa can't beat Michigan. If Iowa beats Michigan. There's a lot that's going to happen. This is going to be very hectic. It could be very hectic. It could be
There'll
very
be no Big Ten game.
What if,
we'll be in.
Yeah.
And
Alabama,
and
what do you do with them? What do you do with Notre Dame?
There's just too much. So let's get to that. Indy, we'll start with you. Who are your four playoff teams as of today?
I'm going with Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati.
Okay, T. Bodie, who are you going with?
You know what? I've got very close. I've got Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, Alabama, or Michigan. I think Alabama's in if Michigan.
So you got to pick one. You can only pick four. So who's your fourth team?
I'm staying with Michigan.
Okay. We got people that are picking. Okay, Mike, who are your four?
Well, you know. Like Indy Hawk is saying, you know, the permutations here, you can make your head spin. But what do I think is going to happen? And even though I'm picking Iowa to win, that's all heart, not head. But
yeah.
I think it's what the reality is probably going to be, and I hope I'm wrong because I want Iowa to win, is Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and I think Alabama's going to lose to Georgia, so they're not going to be in it. So the fourth team's probably going to be either Notre Dame or Oklahoma State. Right now, if Oklahoma State wins, they could be the number four. But I somehow see Notre Dame weaseling it in, so I'm going to have them as my number four pick.
Okay, you're going with Notre Dame four. Brother Tommy, you're four.
Not without Kelly.
This one will blow you away, but I'm going to do
it. That's a wild card. Wouldn't that be if they got in? If they got in, wouldn't that be an unbelievable? I mean,
no coaches.
I can say I wouldn't be laughing, but Brother Tommy, who are your four?
This one's going to blow you away.
Nothing you've done is ever going to blow me away.
He's going to say Iowa.
No, I'm not. Copy. So that was a good one. Good one. That's good. Okay. Takes me a while to process. That's right. Very good one. All right. But you're going to see. You're going to say I'm more ridiculous than that. I've got Iowa when we do the individuals actually beating Michigan. However, I have Georgia, Notre Dame, Michigan drops three or four, and my wild card, because I always have to try to be cute and clever, is Baylor. Baylor beats
not Cincinnati. You got to be kidding.
I got Cincinnati. Hank does the individual game.
Okay, I thought you left them out.
Well, all right. Here's why. Here's why. I've been calling Cincinnati the last 5 weeks. Cincinnati, when they play, and we'll do this when we do the individual game.
They're not.
I've got
lose.
Houston beating Cincinnati. It's a long shot, but that's how I play it. Money line, I would get 6-1. I'm going with, and that's how I play it. Money line. I'm going with Houston upsetting Cincinnati. So I got Georgia, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Baylor.
Okay.
So you'll pick Baylor to get in, but Iowa has no chance.
Well, yeah, Baylor because Baylor's ranked 7th in the country, Mike.
Yeah, but Baylor's
ranked
13th
in the country. I was not jumping Ohio State. It ain't going to happen. Ohio State's lost to the ninth-ranked team in the country, and they've lost to the second-ranked team in the country.
Okay.
Brother Tom, they're going to take a two-loss Baylor over a two-loss Alabama or a two-loss Ohio State. Not happening.
Maybe not Ohio State, but a two-loss Alabama, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah, you know,
so I'm going to go Georgia.
Because remember, the way these guys do it, real quick, Hank, real quick, the way these guys do it is they are also one of the many, what have you done for me lately? Baylor will have run it the last 5 games or whatever, and that's why I'm saying it. Now, whoever said that, I think it was T-Bodie, I don't know who said it. But you're right. My other one would have been I struggled between Baylor and Ohio State. It could very well be Ohio State, but they're not doing two Big Ten teams. They're not going to do it. So that's
why
I realize I'm going for a long shot. You go to the horse track with me, I'm going to be picking 20-1, and you guys are going to be like, this guy's out of his gourd, and you would be absolutely right. I'm going long shot here. That's my only point.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to go with Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma State. I know, real creative, but, you know, that's stranger things have happened. So let's get to the individual picks.
Are you guys convinced Oklahoma State's going to beat Baylor? Are you really that convinced Oklahoma State's going to beat Baylor?
I am. Matchup-wise, I think
they've
got it.
Why wouldn't they do it again?
Yeah. For our predictions, last week, Indy went 7-5. Brother Tommy went 9-3. Mike and Hank went 10-2, and T. Bodie with a stellar 11-1.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice. I forgot which game he missed on, but
Ohio State.
Well, that's
got
to put him bunch for the year.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Brother Tommy did that Michigan pick, and that was, you know, okay. So let's go through these real quick. Western Kentucky, UTSA. Indy and Brother Tommy got Western Kentucky. So, Indy, why do you have them over UTSA?
Western Kentucky. Oh, yeah, I had to look that one up.
Home game.
I think they're going downhill.
You think UTSA is going downhill?
No, Western Kentucky.
But you've got them winning.
So why'd you pick Western Kentucky, you dummy? Jesus Christ,
I don't
I'm surrounded by morons.
Come on.
I'll tell you what I did find out. Do you guys know what a Hilltopper is?
No, what is it?
They're the Hilltopper.
Is that bar in Iowa City?
It's a school.
Bar
on
in
top
Iowa
of
City.
Hill.
Now, that was a good one.
Wait,
that
guys, Indy has the floor. It's a school what?
Oh, my bad.
A Hilltopper. A Hilltopper.
He doesn't even know what
school.
Fucking team he picked, but let's give him the floor.
A Hilltopper is a school on top of a hill. Not exactly a terrorizing mascot.
No, that's true. Brother Tommy, why do you have Western Kentucky?
I think what what Indy tried to allude to, but he couldn't. He's had more drinks than I have. I think the wind is out of UTSA sales. I think the wind is out of UTS sales. That's why.
Okay. You know, that's
and
fair.
And also, I had a good high school friend that was set like 20 different passing records. You can look him up. Jeff Cicerone, University of our Western Kentucky University. So
right.
I got a bias towards them.
Okay. So, T. Bodie, you along with Indy picked Utah in our next game. What are you seeing in Utah against Oregon?
I see a team that already beat them, that knows how to beat them, and just seems like a better, more competent team.
Okay.
Beat them? No, they obliterated them, 38-7.
Yeah, they did. They did. They crushed them. They crushed them.
Yeah.
Baylor, Oklahoma State. This is obviously a pivotal one because if Oklahoma State wins, they've got a really good shot.
They don't have a good shot. They are there. They are there. They win.
Well, not if Michigan and Cincinnati win. They're not. And Georgia
wins. What about Alabama?
Alabama's going to lose to Georgia. Alabama's out of it. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know,
so that puts Oklahoma State there. That puts Oklahoma State there. They're next in succession.
Right. Well, you would have Michigan, Cincinnati, Georgia. Notre Dame, yeah. Notre Dame is the other. And that's, you know, as you said.
No. CFP just put Oklahoma State ahead of Notre Dame. So if Oklahoma State wins, they're certainly not going to lose a spot.
You're right.
You might be right, but I'm 90% sure you're right, but there's this 10% that they could do something weird and flip it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it would have to be weird because they already put them ahead of them, and then they win a championship game, and then they're going to go behind them. I mean, that's 99.99%. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Andy, go ahead.
Now we're on to Utah State, San Diego State. We all picked San Diego State. Does anybody know who San Diego State lost to, or remember who they lost to?
Oregon.
No. Conference team. I mentioned their coach leaving earlier.
Oh,
okay.
Fresno State.
And he parlayed it into a job in Washington. Now, oddly enough, you know, Fresno State, he's left Fresno State for Washington. Oddly enough, there are people that are saying that Campbell was offered the Washington job but turned it down for $7 million. I don't know. I mean, I'm hearing these things. I have a hard time believing.
About Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time believing that he's turning this kind of stuff down. Now, unless Notre Dame is his dream job, and he thinks he still has a shot there, and then maybe he's holding out for that. But I don't see
no shot at Notre Dame. None. Zero. I want you to excoriate me if we find out Campbell gets Notre Dame. He will not get Notre Dame. Sorry.
I agree with you.
Okay, so let's take that break. We'll go one more. Brother Tommy, who's the next coach at Notre Dame?
Fickle.
Okay. Fickle. T. Bodie, who's the next coach at Notre Dame?
Yep, it'll be Fickle.
Okay. Mike, who do you think?
Yeah, I think so too, Fickle.
Luke Fickle. Indy, who do you think?
Campbell,
okay.
I tell you what, I want Indy, seriously, I'm not bullshitting. If we find out that it's Campbell, I want you to say, Brother Tommy is so fucking full of shit. He always says things with such a surety, and he's full of shit. I want you to tell me I'm full of shit, and I'm not kidding. I don't see
I
Campbell
say that
in
every
a million
week,
years.
Tommy.
Not online.
I know, but you're generally respectful when you do it. This time, I want you to say, Brother Tommy, you've said so many prognostications that are wrong. Seriously, I want you to excoriate me. Seriously, because I don't think there's a snowball chance in hell that Campbell gets the Notre Dame job. No way.
I'm thinking Fickle too. I think Fickle, one, he's more of a mid. I mean, Campbell's a Midwest guy too, but Fickle. You know, Fickle had the Ohio State job for that interim season. He's done well at Cincinnati.
Hey, let me throw something out real quick. Just a rhetorical question. Not even rhetorical. Answer it. What was Iowa State at the beginning of the season? 6. Where are they now? What was Cincinnati at the beginning of the season? Where are they now? Are you telling me Notre Dame's going to fucking roll the dice? They're not. Notre Dame doesn't roll dice. They get people that
every time Iowa State has a game, the announcers come out and say, he's winning at Iowa State. Do you know how hard it is to win here? That you know. I mean, if I was a Clone fan, I'd be so sick and tired of hearing him say that. It's just hard to
absolutely.
Win here. But
oh,
I mean,
like,
he's done
it. It's like the beginning of an Iowa game on TV. Cue the John Deere tractor. It's like, really? Come on, guys. We got a little bit more in Iowa. I'm
well,
not an
you know
Iowa
what?
Guy.
That wouldn't be so bad, like, during football season for an afternoon game. But they do it during on a 9 p.m. weeknight basketball game in the middle of January. They you know,
it's
we're in Iowa City, and then they've got a John Deere tractor out tooling through the cornfields, and it's like, really? Come
when
on,
when we
guys.
Talk about the media's lack of intelligence and we talk about the media's lack of creativity, it is best exposed during an Iowa game. They've been doing it for 20 years. Cue the cornfields. Cue the John Deere. It's like, really, you dumb motherfuckers? Ah, geez. All right. I'm not, you
okay.
guys all lived in Iowa longer than I did, so I should have no say. So
okay.
I'm done.
Next game up. Next game up, Appalachian State, Louisiana. Brother Tommy and I both pick Louisiana. Brother Tommy, why'd you pick them?
Very quickly, Spanier is going to be Florida's next head coach. We didn't even mention him in the coaching carousel.
Yeah, I did. I mentioned that Florida guy, Billy Napier.
Oh, you did. Oh, Napier. I'm sorry. Napier. But, yeah, I'm just going with the coach. And personal bias, my kids go, as you all know, go to University of Florida. So that was my main rationale. But I always love Appalachian State to upset people. But I don't even think it's an upset. My wife said it was like a 3.5-point differential.
It is.
So, I'm going emotional.
Okay. I'm picking them as well for the very simple reason I didn't want you to win that and then have that as the only person that won that game like that. So I know it's terrible to do.
Yeah,
that.
You see, that's what you guys do. I always pick first. And you
okay.
guys look
now, let me
and
guys,
that's how
guys,
you guys
let me explain
beat.
Something. When we were kids, we'd go out to dinner with our parents, and Brother Tommy would always wait until last to order just so he could piss me off. Like when I get to him, he would point to me and say, "Same as him." It just used to frost me. So that's why I did it this time. So, okay, Georgia,
you know
Alabama.
What? I admit I'm fucked up. Okay.
Georgia, Alabama. Brother Tommy, you're going to go first here. We've all got Georgia, so what do you think happens in this
I'll
game?
Make it extremely quick. I think they're the best team in the country. When I saw what I saw at Auburn, Georgia. And it needs no explanation. In fact, I always do money line. But the spread, 7.5 points, fucking Georgia's going
to
kill
it. Is it up to 7? It was 6.5 when I set these
okay,
games.
Okay, it might have been
out.
6.5. You might be right. But I'm thinking it's a 15, 16-point game minimal. Georgia's going to annihilate them. That's my
Georgia
view.
Cover. Okay,
right.
Mike, what do you think? Does Georgia cover?
Yeah, Georgia's going to cover. I think Georgia's going to win convincingly.
Okay. T. Bodie.
I don't know. Not so fast, as they say. I think Georgia's going to win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I think you still got the Nick Saban factor.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. That's the intangible
okay.
Nick Saban.
Indy, how about
Saban's
you?
Nick Saban's a fucking monster.
Indy, what do you think?
It's going to be Georgia, but it's going to be close. See him blowing out Alabama.
Okay. Now this next game, this along with our game is the largest spread of any of the conference games with 10.5 points for the favorite Cincinnati. Indy, you're picking Cincinnati. Do they cover?
I don't think they cover. So, but I do not have a strong opinion either way on that. But that'll be an interesting game to watch. You know, Cincinnati's come this far; they're finally in. There's gonna be some pressure on them, and Houston's not bad. So.
Yeah. What do you think? T-Buddy, what are you thinking?
I heard some good things, good arguments for Houston to actually win that game. But I think Cincinnati's going to win, but I think it's going to be close.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, Houston will give them a good game, but I do think Cincinnati will find a way to pull it out. They'll win a close game.
Yeah. Brother Tommy, you've got Houston.
Yeah, real quick on that, I looked up AAC Championship. It actually goes to the home team. So they're playing in Cincinnati, kind of maybe like Michigan. I just thought I'd be cute. They say Houston's 11-1, but I see that they lost to Texas Tech and Oklahoma, so I don't understand how you can be 11-1 and lose to two teams. But I went with Houston, but there again, more than anything else, just to be an outlier, you know.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking Cincinnati. I didn't do a Brother Tommy same as him this time. I did pick Cincinnati. All along, I thought they were going to lose to SMU, and when they didn't, I think that just kind of threw that thing out. So I think they're on a mission, and, you know, they know that this is it.
They're probably a team of destiny. Yes, they're probably a team of destiny. I agree.
Okay. So Pitt, Wake Forest. We'll start with T. Bodie. You've got Wake. What's your resource, as Tommy would say? What's your reasoning?
I would say the movie line.
Swag factor.
Okay.
Scientific wildness, yes.
Okay, and and Mike, how about you? You've got Pitt.
I just kind of like Narduzzi. I think he's doing a good job, and so that's I went with Pitt. I think they're gonna win it.
Okay, Indy. You went with Pitt as well.
There'll be more points scored in this game than when they play in basketball. But I think Pitt's probably the better defense, so it's going to be a wild one.
Yeah.
Be fun to watch.
Brother Tommy, you went with Pitt
it'll
as well.
It'll be a good game.
You know, I'm gonna echo. I went with Pitt, but Hawkeye Mike just said something very interesting. Do you put Narduzzi in the line for Oklahoma job? That's a fucking good coach.
Yeah, that's a good, I never thought of that. That's a good.
You gave me the impetus for that.
ND.
That's interesting.
Or ND.
Yeah,
what's Narduzzi's history?
No, he's going ND. ND's going to have a qualified coach.
Narduzzi was on D'Antonio's staff, right?
Defensive coordinator, for Michigan State. Great.
No. Actually, Hawkeye Mike got the gem of the day, inadvertently. Unwittingly. That would be an interesting thing for him to go to Oklahoma. He's defensive-minded, and they're going to have someone defensive-minded. Oh, that's interesting. But I just to answer the original question, I have Pitt.
Yeah. See,
I like Hank, though. Hank's suggestion about Notre Dame. I wouldn't rule Narduzzi out there either.
Yeah. I went with Wake because I think Dave Clawson has done a good job there and has got it figured out. And it's, you know, it's just one of those, I don't know, it's kind of a feeling. I just think Wake is a good team. Not great, but a good team, especially for ACC, you know, this year. So I went with Wake, but... Okay, we're getting.
I'll tell you what,
game.
Hawkeye Mike just laid the. They say it about the Erasmus with Martin Luther. He laid the egg that Luther hatched. I'm going with Hawkeye Mike and the egg. She is going to be the next coach at Oklahoma. Mark it.
Okay. Now
where's the LSU coach going to?
Ed
Orgeron?
He's already said he's sitting out 2022.
Yes.
You know, he was originally
going to. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, they're 6-6. They're eligible for a bowl. They'd said before that he would coach the bowl game, and then he decided he is not going to coach the bowl game. So.
Girlfriend's kids.
That's right. Is that one of his issues, so to speak? You said that before, I guess.
He was taking him to practice is one thing I heard.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all have Iowa. Indy, you've got...
Oh, it is good if you can get away with it. Just backtracking.
Okay. You're right. Indy, you've got the under. What's your rationale on the under?
Iowa, Michigan, you talking about?
Yeah.
I just think it'll be a tough game. I don't think it'll be high scoring. Iowa tends to make people play that way. We'll see. We play bend it, but don't break. So you got to be patient. So.
Yep. T-Bodie, you've got the over. Please explain.
Yeah. Not by much. I just kept going in my mind, and I keep thinking, like, you know, 27 or 24 to 22, you know, or 20, whatever we're going to in my mind.
I think I was 24-17. So,
Mike, I didn't see whether you picked the under or over. The over, the under over is 43.5. What do you?
Yeah, no, I thought it said under, but if I didn't, yeah, under. And here's why, quite simply, if Iowa's going to win, and I picked them to win, they ain't going to do it if it's a high scoring game. So they got to keep it under.
Yeah, brother Tommy, you've got the over.
Yeah, T. Bodie, Echo Chamber here. I just think that we're going to do some creative things. And, yeah, I agree with T. Bodie, so I won't elaborate. But, yeah, I think it's a definite over.
Okay.
But I understand. That's a perfect set line from Vegas. That's a perfectly set line. I could go either way, but I'm going over. I agree with T. Bodie's
10.5 and a 43.5 over. I think that what they're banking on is people taking – I don't know. I get – because Vegas doesn't – they pretty much do it. They don't do it strictly by who they think is going to win, obviously. They do it by, you know, who's betting how. But
no, but they originally set the line on who's going to win. Then they translate it to who's betting how.
Right. But I'm
people
with –
get it wrong.
I'm sort of with Indy and Mike in the sense that if this game hits the over, then Michigan is the winner. I don't see – I mean, and it's not so much that we – it's not that we don't want to score points. I just don't see us winning a game where there's where it's high scoring. I just don't think we can –
scoring him.
Yeah, I just – you know, I just don't think we're going to do that. I don't think it's capable. Now, again, something could happen. You know, we could have two or three pick sixes and a special teams touchdown. That changes the dynamic. But as Tommy said early on – that's not something you can plan for or predict or you know, it's just not – that's not a way to – I just don't think that the Hawks have any chance to win a game in this instance that is an over with a 43.5 against a team like Michigan. Now, if it was Maryland –
solid argument. You're right. I mean, it's a solid argument.
Yeah.
Hank, let's say it's 21-14. Somehow Iowa got a touch – or got a touchdown, you know, got an offensive touchdown. So it's 21-14. Iowa gets a field goal, and then they block a kick, and all of a sudden it's 24-21, and then there's your over.
Yeah.
Boom, true. Boom. Solid argument, except we're not going to block. I'll tell you, Harbaugh's going to win this game.
Michigan's got excellent.
Here's
the thing that Harbaugh's going to do to win this game. I'll say it real quickly. What Harbaugh's going to do is he's going to go into Kirk Ferentz's ball. He's going to say, guys, this offense cannot score on us. So just don't make mistakes. Don't fumble. Don't try to hit the seams. Just freaking play ball, and we will beat them. And that's the argument for the under. Michigan's going to be like, don't make mistakes. They're going to play Kirk Ferentz ball, but I think, ironically, Ferentz is going to open it up. And this game, to me, has so many different possibilities.
It's going to be a hard fought. I think we can all agree, and I've even heard this. You know, everybody's picking Michigan to win, but there's been a lot of caution that it's going to be a hard fought, close game, and I think that's right. Could I be wrong? Of course, but I got a gut feeling. Iowa always matches up pretty good against Michigan. You cannot discount that. From Hayden Fry forward, I think Iowa's got a winning record against Michigan. I'm not positive. It's pretty close,
no.
If not.
We lost 10 straight games in the 90s. We're 5 out of the last 7 years. And 5.
Yeah.
But Iowa tends to match up even when Michigan has better teams. 5 years ago when they came into Iowa City 9-0, Iowa was 5-4 and beat them. And, you know, no one saw that coming. That game has some scary parallels because Iowa was struggling. Their offense, they got blown out the week before, I think, against Penn State.
Yeah.
And
abused.
Michigan was – remember Jabril Peppers? They were on a roll. And Iowa came in and they barely did what they needed to do offensively. They got a safety. And Wilton Spate, man, they beat that guy up.
I was telling Hank today when I talked to him, Wadley broke, I'm speaking figuratively, both of Jabril Peppers' ankles, broke them both. And I'm like Hawkeye Mike, and you guys listen to me. There's no one that's harder on Ferentz's the parents' team than me.
I've got
a weird feeling that we're going to fucking pull this game out. It's a weird feeling, but I just think that I think he's going to say, fuck it. We got nothing to lose.
Iowa matches up against Michigan teams. They do.
No, and I agree with Hawkeye Mike there. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll listen to the question.
T-Bone.
I agree with Hawkeye Mike. We do match up well with Michigan.
T-Bone, what were you saying?
So all the different pundits on the radio, all the Canals and what's it, Dvorsky and Rick Neuheisel and all those guys and all their guests when they're talking about these games, on the Iowa-Michigan game, they all hesitate. They all say Iowa has no offense and theoretically would not stand a chance except for there's that outside chance of all these games. That's the one that could happen where Iowa beats Michigan. And it seems like all of them are saying they're laughing when they say it, but they're saying it.
Yeah,
Michigan's going to have a little bit of a letdown, I think, too.
Yeah, well, we're talking about
the other thing I'm going to say real quick, Hank. Give me 15 seconds. The other thing I will say, I said this about another game that I prognosticated about. What happens is your dopamine levels, I'm getting scientific here, your cortisol levels.
Follow the science.
Epinephrine
levels, all of them get fucked up. And Michigan, believe me, they're going to go to class tomorrow, and they're going to get the hand patted on the back, which brings up their dopamine levels. And they're going to get the hand patted on the back because they finally beat Ohio State. But guess what? That doesn't hold. After about 5 days, it goes to shit. I think they're going to come out stale. I really do.
Well, here's a perspective. In 2016, as we pointed out, we had lost.
Michigan come out
stale. We had lost an awful loss to Penn State. It was gruesome to watch.
It looked terrible.
But we couldn't watch in our normal Hawkeye watch bar because they had entertainment. They had bands on Saturday nights, and that was a night game. And so we were like, we've got to. So we went to our backup that we had been to before. Now the problem was this was like a brew pub, so there were no $2 beer specials. They didn't even serve food. You could order it from other places. We were laughing as we got in there. We were like, yeah, the beer's expensive, but you're only drinking for a half. Because, you know, we're out of here at halftime. And somehow, you know, even though they got a lead on us, Peppers, remember they did that wildcat with Peppers early? And we stopped him. And it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't like we were lucky. We just absolutely shut him down. And then when we got that safety, we were down 10-0. I remember joking, well, God, just, you know, it was only four more safeties. You know, we're back in this. I mean, everything about that game said we shouldn't – have been in it.
Well,
and yet
had the
we blocked
punt early, too. It didn't start out well. Remember that block punt?
No.
Iowa had a block punt or something.
Oh,
or
was that? No, it wasn't a block. It was when Ron Caluzzi took he mishandled the snap and he took off and he did that flip.
Yeah.
Remember, he sort of like flipped over and then somebody hit him late.
That's right.
I mean, it was a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
It really was, and somehow we still pulled it off.
There is an element of whistling in the dark for all of us Hawkeye prognosticators here. There is an element of whistling in the dark. But part of me feels like I don't know, man. I don't know.
Indy, you've been quiet.
My radar on this is similar to the radar I had at the beginning of the year when everybody was talking about how fantastic Iowa State was going to be. And I was like, you know what? Something tells me they're going to take a dive. They always find a way to fuck things up. And sure enough, you know, 7-5. One of the biggest disappointments of all time.
Indy, are you going to the game?
You can go back on Hank's show. I said one of two things is going to happen. The latter did. I said we're going to be 6-6, struggling after all the bullshit with racism and all that, or we're going to be 10-2, and we ended up 10-2.
So
I don't know.
Are
you
know,
and I fucking love to hate Kirk Ferentz, but I'll tell you what, he's doing something right. You know,
and we're going to give the floor to Indy. Are you going to the game, Indy?
Well, I tell you what, I'm on call. My daughter is expecting a child. It's supposed to be mid-December, and now she's moved up. They think it might go this week. So what I'll do is I'll probably go down.
Congrats,
I don't know
Grandpa.
If T. Bodie's coming or not, but I don't know. So I'll probably scalp it. You can scalp here, so see if I can get in.
Should I be giving out your address for the post-game party or not? I mean, nobody else.
Probably not.
Okay. Well, then, so then,
Are they having like a Friday night event, like iClub type thing, you know, like they do at bowl games, like when they go to the Rose Bowl, some big Iowa party? Because I think they did something like that back
in
16.
Yeah,
they do. There is a huddle on Friday, yeah. And the other thing is, there's also some events at the venue, I think, during, you know, in the week leading up. There's like one or two events that, you know, you know, get your picture taken with Howard
on
Griffith and Jerry DiNardo type stuff.
Strictly,
I mean, that's,
on the board. Strictly on the board. And so I got no firsthand information, but I've heard the Big Ten championship game, people that are pontificate about what it was like in 2015. Supposedly, it's a rock and roll deal. It's a fun deal.
That's what I heard.
So
I know somebody that went there. I had a friend that went there, and he said it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
It'll probably be more even this time, but back in 2015, there was a lot more Iowa fans than Michigan State fans, is what he told me.
Yeah, in the Vito has a suggestion with Zoom. Why don't you just go to the game and then have Zoom in on when it's birthing time? He makes a good point on that.
I hate to be sour apple in the group, but you always got to take your child birth a little bit more importantly than Iowa football. And
depends on the score. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
exactly. That's true. Depends on
now,
while
we're talking Iowa here, before we wrap things up really quick, we're talking Iowa here. A little optimism, a little props for the Iowa basketball. A nice win against Virginia.
You mean almost blown 20-point lead?
They gathered themselves and they won it.
That's the best thing in the world that could have happened to them, winning by a point. That's the best thing in the world that could have happened to them.
And who would have thought Toussaint with the clutch shot?
That was my shock, is that Toussaint with the clutch shot at the end. It was like, what the? So what's everyone's thoughts on the Purdue game Friday?
We lose. Probably
run out of luck. No shame if they don't win there.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody
100%.
Several people on Twitter said, you know, Purdue came in.
The team in the country.
Yeah, Purdue came in and beat number two Iowa in our house, so maybe it's time for us to return the favor, go in and beat them, but I don't, you know.
How about Ohio State beating Duke? Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Big Ten challenge, we're whipping them. 6-2, I think it is.
Big Ten,
going into tonight.
That's right. The thing is this, that everyone's talking about now, but who would have seen it last year? How about this Keegan Murray motherfucker? Shit.
Oh, yeah.
This guy looks like, they compare him to Grant Hill.
Leading scorer in the country.
This guy is a son of a
bitch.
Leading
scorer in the country. Yeah.
Don't sleep on Chris Murray either.
Awesome. And you know what? I'll never sing his praises, but Jordan Bohannon had a freaking lights-out game against Virginia Tech. And I never sing his praises. I hate him for everything he represents. However, on the basketball court, I thought it was going to metastasize and make the whole team shitty. But, no, he's doing great. Hey,
okay, let's get back. Speaking of lack of defense.
I think there was bad blood between him and CJ Frederick.
Speaking of lack of defense, this gives us a chance to go in and talk about the Hawks that made all Big Ten. On the defensive side, Riley Moss, his first team, and he's the Big Ten Tatum Woodson defensive back of the year. Charlie Jones is the return specialist of the year. Dane Belton was first team on both. Van Valkenburg and Hankins were second team on both. Shudak was second
Campbell
by the coaches.
Campbell was first. Jack Campbell.
Caleb Shudak was second on the coaches and first on media. Campbell was first on media, but third on the coaches.
Third. That's a travesty.
And then for honorable mention, you have Jack Kerner, Noah Shannon, Seth Benson. And again, Torrey Taylor, honorable mention. That's the best they could do for him.
Yeah.
That was a joke. And then
Shudak, not the best place kicker?
Well, Michigan's place kicker is good. As somebody pointed out, you've probably got the top two kickers in the country kicking this weekend. So, but Torrey Taylor, honorable mention. I mean, I can't even fathom. Now, on the offensive, Linderbaum is first team, and he's also the Remington Pace Offensive Lineman of the Year. Schott made second team coaches and third team media. And Mason Richmond made honorable mention on both.
Yeah, blows me away. And the up-and-coming lineman for Iowa is really, I think that's Connor Colby. He's going to be good. Indy Hawk, and you were pointing out the line, offensive line, the last couple of games has made some pretty good strides.
Yeah. Well, Laporte.
Connor Colby was All-American, freshman All-American. I read it.
I haven't seen that yet, but Laporta and Goodson were both third team and on one, and honorable mention on the other. Okay, so who got left out besides? I mean, who got left out besides Torrey Taylor? Should have been, you know, first pick. Who got left out for the Hawks? Who else should have gotten in there?
I'll tell you who got left out from the standpoint of Jack Campbell.
And where's
Goodson? The first team analysis, the third team analysis? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. But other than
anybody
that, else? No, I mean, I'm not a big Hawkeye honk, but I thought that one was a rock.
Andy, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did Aiden Hutchinson get the defensive player of the year?
He did, yes.
He did.
Okay. Yeah,
he's going to be the first non-quarterback drafted in the NFL draft.
He's in the Heisman hunt, too. You watch tight ends all day.
T-Bodie, any glaring misses there that you saw or read or heard?
You know what? I did not even know that list came out, so I haven't even seen it. But, you're touching on all the top names.
Anybody shocked by Dane Belton being first-team both coaches?
That
point
last week? Dave Belton, though, has played.
I think you're wrong. I saw this. I don't do the news that much. I saw this. I don't remember Dane Belton being there.
I saw it.
Special team player.
Yeah, no,
was,
he was.
Or kickoffer. He was special teams. I don't think Jones was first team. I think he got.
Charlie Jones?
Yeah, Charlie Jones. Yeah. He was him and Moss, who I don't agree with on Moss. But him and Moss, I don't think you're right about Belton. I don't think you're right.
I read it. Belton was first team on both. That shocked me. Maybe they messed up, but I saw it on Hawkeye Report. I'll tell you what really shocks me, though, more than anything, is Torrey Taylor. I mean, I'm sorry. Honorable mention is the – I mean, he could make a case that he was our most valuable guy. I mean, it's just –
You can see
you're right. The thing that you have to remember too about Taylor, it's not just the punting average. How many times did that guy stick it down inside the 10 or inside the 5? I don't know of any punter that did a better job than that.
He didn't have 60-yard averages because he punted from the 50.
Well, but that's what I mean. You can't just go by the average,
which was
pretty good. He was like 45.8 or something like that, which ain't bad. But then you got to consider the intangibles. I mean, you know.
Now, since we're talking, even just honorable mention, anybody surprised that Justin Jacobs gets nothing?
I am.
A little bit. I am a little bit because that guy is scary good.
Yeah, he's going to be.
That guy is going to be our defensive player, with possible exception of Jack Campbell, is going to be our defensive player that plays on Sundays. I mean, But I also understand he's a hybrid, and it's very difficult to be a hybrid player and they get elevated status. So I do get why they did it. We all watch Iowa really closely, and we realize what a catalyst he is. But, you know, when you're in Oregon and you got to vote on someone, you know. I agree. He's our next fucking NFL big player. Desmond King. We all know the routine.
Okay, so we're going to go back to T-Bodie. Let's forget even talking about the offense. What do the Hawks have to do to win this weekend?
What do they have to do? They need to be able to get their offense to run plays and you know, they just – I don't know.
They need to score more points than Michigan.
Yeah,
okay.
Gonna be,
The defense will do their job. We'll focus on that Husak and shut down their run game and such and make them beat us through the air, which they may or may not. And it's going to be up to our offense to be able to move against that defensive line. I mean, Michigan's defensive line is going to stop us hard.
Yeah.
We got to
figure I'm worried about them getting out and gashing us early on the run. I have no doubt that the defense will make adjustments eventually, but I'm just worried that, you know, we usually give up that first drive touchdown, and that worries me with this Michigan team because they I'm not saying our line is better or worse than Ohio State's or anything, but, man, I mean, their line just absolutely tore it up and that scares me. That's what scares me is busting out and just dominating our line early, and then we just can't come back. I mean, we can come back against we can come back against a Nebraska or even an Illinois or whatever. Michigan, we cannot let them get a big lead.
Hey, I got to interject here. I'm looking at these awards. Did you know that the top leadership award that they have is named after Niall Kinnick, and the Specialist of the Year award is named after Tim Dwight and Johnny Rogers?
Here's the thing. Okay. Johnny Rogers is one of the awards, and Dave Remington is the other award that we won. Neither one. What are we doing naming Big Ten awards after guys that never played a down of Big Ten football?
Johnny Rogers was a fucking monster.
Yeah, but not in the Big Ten. Not in the Big Ten.
They're in the Big Ten now. They're in the Big Ten now.
Yeah, okay. Okay, guys, it's time to wrap it up.
I know people hate saying they're in the Big Ten now. Give them credence
for that. Time to wrap it up. I want to thank you guys all for being on, of course. Annie for being here. Jack Forsyth earlier, bringing a boy. He's still learning was in. Sue on the phones, Big Sister on the phones. A couple numbers I didn't recognize, like the one that had his hand up most of the time. But when we went to him, didn't understand. So, anyway, hey, this weekend we'll be texting. For all you non-Iowa fans out there, we need you to be an Iowa fan this weekend. Go Hawks. Have a good weekend, all. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks. Later.
What?
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, guys. Okay. Out. Talk to y'all later. Good night, folks.